Thank you for our gospel reading this evening. Let's just have a short time of prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of your living word. We pray, Lord, that as we seek to understand your word, you will continue to shape and mold us in your image, that we might share that love with others as we travel in this world on our journey of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we have that theme of travelling, that theme of refreshment. And I recently went on a retreat to Launde Abbey. I'm sure you'll be familiar with Launde Abbey in Leicestershire. No? Oh, I've got some shakes of the head, some nods of the head. All right, okay. Well, it's one of those lovely old houses that's been donated many, many years ago to the Church of England. And it's used as a retreat house. And it is relatively remote. I'm sure if you had your walking boots on and you had a rucksack prepared, you'd be able to get there in a day or so. But it's quite remote. And I was there for 2 days over three. And it was part of an annual retreat arranged for ministers across the Lincolnshire district. And Bruce, of course, was there as the chair of district. And while I was there, I was able to go into the small chapel that they have for some of the services and just soak up that tranquility, that peace that you often find in such places from that deep well of spirituality that's centered on the love of God. And it seems to be an intrinsic feature of Launde and of many other places that are centered on Christ. We all need places for respite. We all need a bolt hole. We all need a place to recoup from the rigors of life, particularly at the beginning of a year. And although it's February, I still feel we're at the beginning of a year. A place where we can just reconnect and be ourselves, just to make sure we are listening to God properly, we are centered on Christ, and to be reminded that we carry the peace of Christ and the love of God with us wherever we go. We are as salt and light. And in our readings today from both the Old and New Testaments, we're reminded, perhaps particularly at the beginning of a new year and all that it holds for us as individuals, as church, as a country, and all that we are facing and in our place in the world, that in all we encounter, we travel with God and as messengers of the love of God. That image of God's presence and deliverance is echoed in our Old Testament reading that we heard from the book of Psalms, where we read the psalmist singing God's praises as he sees God answering his prayer for deliverance. I wonder if you've ever been there and done that. I have, and I do, and I'm sure you do too. And that sense of God at work in the world is echoed and amplified in our New Testament reading from John's Gospel, as we read of that incredible encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman and the illustration of the life-giving water that wells up to eternal life when we are in Christ. So this evening, I just want us to pause just for a few moments as we just reflect on that remarkable meaning. If when you reflect on biblical passages you close your eyes, that's perfectly all right, but I'd prefer you didn't snore. That doesn't sort of go well for an evening service, but if you need to sleep, that's fine. That's all right. Let's just recap. Jesus' followers have been baptizing new disciples, and the Pharisees were becoming increasingly concerned. As he hears of this, Jesus decides that they should return to Galilee, but there are choices to make about the way we should go. The Jews, for the most part, avoided travelling through Samaria. There was a deep hostility with the Samaritans for more than 400 years. In fact, it would be true to say that the Jews despised the Samaritans. This wasn't just I can't stand them. This was a deep despise, for that was carried as they believed the Samaritans were impure and a mixed breed who had intermarried with foreigners. This was deep-seated and deep-rooted. And so they avoided contact with them because they considered them unclean. Well, the Samaritans followed the law of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, and kept many of the Jewish practices. The Jews nonetheless regarded them as enemies and heretics. But Jesus is on a rescue mission, not only for the Jews, but for the whole world, as this encounter makes explicit. Jesus came to set all people free from sin and death and bring them God's kingdom of righteousness, peace and joy. But could that possibly mean for an ostracized Samaritan woman? Jesus' public ministry was centered mainly in Galilee and in Jerusalem. He rarely left the physical borders of Israel. But on this occasion, early on in his ministry, he decides to cross through Samaria, a land which divided Galilee in the far north from Jerusalem and the region of Judea in the south. And yet, isn't this so human? We hear he's tired from all his travelling. Wholly human, yet wholly divine. So what does he do? Jesus sits down by the well to rest a while as the disciples go off to buy some food. I love that picture. In a way, it's such an ordinary, unexceptional picture. How often have you gone to a coffee shop? How often have you sat in the well here to have a cup of coffee when you're a bit tired? And you wait for someone to come and have a chat, or you meet someone you know, or maybe someone you don't, and you break into a conversation. It's just that lovely sense of the ordinariness of being a human. It's just special. And yet, in the heat of the day, a Samaritan woman comes to the well. She walks in the blazing heat as she hopes, she expects that no one else will be there. Why? Well, we know, don't we? Because she was ostracized and marked as immoral, an unmarried woman living openly with the sixth in a series of men. But picture that image. On arriving at the well, she finds Jesus the Jew, and through this seemingly simple encounter, Jesus bridges the age-old gulf between Jew and Samaritan. And in a sense, all he was doing was being in the right place with her, taking that opportunity and talking to her. Through this brief yet profound encounter, this huge act of compassion flies in the face of all that is proper behaviour in that culture and that context at that time. And just capture that for a moment. What is proper behaviour for you and I? What would fly in the face of that for us today in this world here in Lincoln? Maybe you might catch yourself doing something hugely improper this week, and if it's part of your walk in Christ, then God bless you and go ahead. So Jesus engages this woman in conversation, and yet she seeks to divert Jesus from his gently probing questions. And in doing so, she continues on a faith journey of discovery as Jesus talks with her and as he reveals that he knows more about her than she perhaps knows about herself. There's much that could be said about this story, much that has already been said. But the story of the woman at the well teaches us that God loves us in spite of our bankrupt lives. God values us enough to actively seek us out, to welcome us to the intimacy of a relationship with him, and to rejoice in our fellowship and worship. As a result of Jesus' love for this woman, as an outcast in her own people, the Samaritan woman catches a glimpse of the deep well of love and compassion that Jesus carries for all people. For she has encountered the living Christ, and she can barely believe it. For this is grace indeed. But as we know, Jesus is still on a rescue mission, offering salvation to all those who put their trust in him. I wonder if sometimes our journeying too may also seem like taking a path across a desert, but we too know that sometimes it's a path that we are called to make. And as we journey, we are not alone, for we travel in the spirit and company of Jesus and as messengers of God's hopeful, transforming word. And such love can cause the driest desert to bloom. As disciples of God's mission in this place, we too are called to trust ourselves to his care and to his work here and now in this place and for eternity. And this new year, you and I, across the Methodist circuit here, are called prayerfully to recommit ourselves to this next stage of our journeying with God, sustained by his love, because the love of Christ, the life-giving water, still needs to be shared. The love of God sustained the psalmist, and he was once again delivered into God's presence in the midst of his sorrows. And in God's love, as John's account of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman shows, we too are called to walk with Christ into places where even the outcast can find a home. In the story of the well, it's interesting to note that it's Jesus who initiates the conversation. So too in our lives, it's Jesus who calls us to put our trust in him as we go forward as the unique and loved individuals we are, as we go forward as a church, as we go forward as a circuit, as we seek to discern God's calling upon us in these times. So, as we draw this message to a close, our prayer this year is that we may discover and rediscover our calling in the love of Christ. And as Christ's disciples, we may be moved in the Spirit to sit beside today's men and women, boys and girls, and show them the way to God, the wellspring of life, undaunted by those who would seek to divide us. Amen.